If you take your Bibles this morning and join me at Psalm 126, we're going to leave our series through 2 Corinthians today and just take an opportunity to think about the blessings that God has given us. As I began to think about this Sunday and what we would do, how we would worship, and I began to read a lot of different articles, a lot of different sermons, a lot of different ideas that go around the idea of the country we live in. And I just want to take an opportunity to do something a little different. Normally, as you well know, I'm an expository preacher, which means we work verse by verse, word by word through Scripture. Today, I want to give you more of a snapshot. I want to give you more of some of the things when I think of America and I think of the blessings we have here on the week of the 4th and the celebration that we have in the country God has given us. I just want to reflect on that for a few moments this morning today as we come together as a body thinking about what God has done. The 126th Psalm is a psalm where the nation of Israel began to reflect and consider where they were as a nation, and I think it's behooving of us today to reflect on the same. Let's read the 126th Psalm together. It says, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, and the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continuously goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.'" Let us pray. Our Father God, how grateful we are for the day you've given. And we just pray now that as we worship and we think about the blessings that you've given us as a nation, Father, as we think about the goodness that you bestow all because of your Son Jesus Christ and his death on Calvary, how grateful we are for that. We just pray now that you'll speak to hearts and minds. If there's one here today that does not know you, would today be that day of salvation? Father, if there's one here that is not walking with you as they know they should, would you draw that one into a right relationship? Be honored, be glorified in all that we say, all that we do. We pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Read one article this week about a man that was writing, recounting the idea of his parents who came over as Jewish immigrants during the height of World War II. They moved to this country for safety. They came in very poor, as a matter of fact, through labor and hard work and through difficult conditions. The father died at a young age. The mother and the children survived on. And the young man wrote about and he talked about that as his mother grew older and he became very successful in life, he thought that his mom might enjoy traveling and seeing the world. And so he offered her numerous opportunities to all expenses paid to go to different places around the world and see places. She always refused. She said there's no place she wanted to be, no other place she wanted to go. Well, when his mom died, they began to go through her effects, and one of the things they discovered was a safety deposit box, and they couldn't locate a key for it, and they wondered what in the world could this lady of modest means had that was so special, so dear, so close to her that it would have been so important to her to put it in a safety deposit box. So they went and they had the box drilled out and pulled. And as they pulled the box out, there was padding and stuffing all around. And they began to pull it out thinking, you know, what jewel, what precious jewel might be buried in all of this. And finally, as they got to the bottom of it, the story goes, it was a true account. As he pulled everything out, he found one envelope. And what he'd come to find out is what his mom considered so special, so valuable, that it needed to be locked away and protected at all costs was her American citizenship papers. You see, it meant so much to her that she was able to become a citizen of this great country that she wanted them protected and locked back. As I think about this week, the week of the 4th, kind of couched between two other very special times in our summer, but times that we lose meaning of, and that is our Memorial Day and our Veterans Day, when we remember those that serve and we remember those that died. And then we come to the 4th and we think about the importance of the nation and the country that God has given us. Do we really know the blessings that we have as American people? I really believe, as I've had the opportunity to travel around this world and to see many things in this world, I really believe we've missed the blessings that God has given us. You see, in America, we celebrate a lot of different holidays, some religious, some secular, holidays that have different meanings. One of the things, for instance, we celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas, those of a religious meaning. Now, the world may try to take the religious meaning out of those, but you really can't. We celebrate Christmas, and when we celebrate Christmas, what do we think about? We think about the wonderful blessings that God has given us. And I picture Christmas, and I see families gathered together, families worshiping together, celebrating together, thinking about the blessings of Christ. I also picture children as they enjoy such a festive holiday. When I think of Thanksgiving, I think of families coming together and hopefully remembering the blessings that they are about to partake of or those that have been given by God. And I've already mentioned, we think about Memorial Day. And when I think of Memorial Day, I think of those soldiers that sacrificed and gave so much. This past Memorial Day, I had the opportunity to be in Washington, D.C. for Memorial Day. And I had the opportunity to go to Arlington National Cemetery and just see the graves lined with those flags. And I stood there and I thought about the price that is paid. While we were there at Arlington, they actually were conducting the funeral of a young man that was killed in a roadside bomb in Afghanistan. And we were standing there as the caisson brought his body in and as the family stood. And I just thought about the sacrifice that so many make to have given me the right to stand in that cemetery, to give me the right to stand in the Capitol. So we're mindful of that. Veterans Day will be coming up, and many of us think of Veterans Day as only the day that ends summer. How sad that is that we don't really reflect on Veterans Day being the day that we remember and thank those that have given so much of themselves that we have the freedom to celebrate. You see, as we think about holidays, we think about so many things, there's a lot that we celebrate in this country. But I'll tell you a day that gets lost in this country, and I'll be honest with you, it's July the 4th. We've taken July the 4th, and we've turned it into a time to eat hot dogs and shoot fireworks. You said, now, wait a minute, preacher, that's hypocritical. We're eating hot dogs. I didn't say it was a bad thing. I just said that's what we've turned it into. We've lost sight that it is a time that we need to thank God for the country that we have. We've lost sight of it's a time to back up with our families and teach our children and to encourage others to remember and realize how important this day is. Today, as we begin to look at what takes place and what we see, I think there's some parallels in the 126th Psalm between the nation of Israel and between America that we can draw as we look at this. One of the things that you'll notice if you have a study Bible or any headings over, you'll notice that this psalm is probably called a psalm of ascent in your Bible. It's just a heading they put over. You may have wondered what that means, and let me just tell you, that means it's a hymn. It's a song that would have been sung by the Israelites, the pilgrims, as they came back to Jerusalem to worship. And so as we look at this song of worship, this song of celebration that would have been sung by the Jewish nation, I want to draw some snapshots, some pictures for you to see. Three simple snapshots today that we want to focus on as we move into the week of the 4th. Number one, I want you to look at a national snapshot. The first thing we find is what took place here with the people of Israel. In verse 1, it says, when the Lord brought us back, brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Now listen to how Israel responded. They said, the pagans have said, and we say, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. You see, this psalm is a picture of the freedom that the children of Israel were enjoying. That was a remembrance of what God had done in their life. Now, it's very interesting to me that the first thing the psalmist mentions is that the other nations, those surrounding Israel, recognized the blessings of Israel long before Israel recognized those blessings themselves. The other nations said, look at what God has done among the Israelites. Then the Israelites said, oh yeah, I guess we have been blessed. You see, as we look at this and we see what's going on, and I understand the importance of the liberty that we have as a nation, the freedom that we celebrate. Do you realize that we don't even enjoy it the way we should? We don't recognize it the way that we should. You see, as I think about the liberty that we have, we sing about liberty. We celebrate liberty. We talk about liberty. Some of the most famous words ever recorded was recorded by Paul Revere as he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." Some of the things that we recognize is we talk about it, but do we really recognize the importance of liberty and what we have been blessed with? As I began to think about this week, and I thought about it, and I just jotted down some things that as I was reading that came to mind. I jotted down a few things of my own. I'm sure that when I talk about liberty, you can make your own list and probably come up with things that mean the most to you. But these are some things that kind of came to my mind. You know, when I think about liberty, one of those things that I'm reminded of is Americans, some of the liberties we have. We have a freedom of movement today. Do you realize that as Americans, we can move around this country? We can go places and do things. We have 3 men in our church, a total of 5 that are riding, 3 from our church. They left the Key West, Florida yesterday. They're going to Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, and back to Key West, Florida. Now, some of you are going, why in the world would they do such a thing? I'd love to be with them is all I can say. But they're doing it because they can. You know, that's what it boils down to. A couple of years ago when several of us went out to the West Coast on our motorcycles and back, people said, why would you do that? And the answer is, because we can. You see what you say? Well, Richard, that's a foolish answer. No, it's not. Do you realize not every nation on earth has that privilege to travel around? Not everybody gets the luxury of what we have in America. Do we even celebrate? When is the last time you thanked God just for the freedom of movement? You see, I've traveled around this world. I've been in places in this world. Some of you have been in places in this world where they do not experience this freedom, where they have to have papers and permission to go anywhere, where they can't cross borders, where they can't move around, where they can't even visit homes without permission. But you see, in this country, we have freedom of movement. And do we even stop to say, God, thank you for the freedom that we experience in that movement? Well, you know, also when I think about freedom, is not only that ability to move around, that ability to go on vacation, that ability to travel, that ability to see this great country that God has given us, and beyond that, to travel outside the borders of this country. Also stop and think about the freedom of expression that we have as Americans. You see, when we stop and we look at what takes place, we have the freedom to express ourselves. Do you realize that few, if any, other countries on this earth have the honest, true freedom that we experience as Americans? Very few other nations, if any, actually have the ability to express themselves as we do. We are protected by our First Amendment under the right of freedom of speech. Now, we grumble and complain and we fuss a lot about this and about that, but the truth of the matter is we experience more freedoms in this area than any other. And unfortunately, we don't exercise that right. We don't remember that right. Unfortunately, many times we don't thank God for that right. But we have been blessed under a First Amendment. We have been blessed with a freedom of expression that few others have been. You see, as we stop and we think about that, I have been a pastor for 19 years. In 19 years, I have never, not once, had the government tell me what I can or cannot say from a pulpit. I have never, not once, ever been threatened by a government official that if I preached, I would be arrested. I have never felt threatened to stand on a sidewalk and share my faith. I have never been threatened to sit on a plane or in a cab and share my faith. I have never been threatened to walk into a restaurant and tell a waiter or a waitress that I'm going to pray for them. I have never once been threatened to believe what I believe and to share it with others. And there is no other nation on earth that experiences such luxury as we do. Do we thank God for the First Amendment? Do we thank God for that ability to share our faith? Listen, I've never felt threatened in that. It wouldn't do the government any good to tell me not to. They would just have to lock me up because I'm not going to stop. But they've never told me not to. And in that, how fortunate are we? You see, all I want you to do is just stop and think about some things that we need to be thankful for. The freedom of movement, the freedom of expression. But also, we have a freedom of worship. We have a freedom of worship. Do you realize what a privilege it is to be able to come in today and to be able to worship? Now, you had a choice when you got up this morning. You had a choice rather to come and worship or not. When you get here, you have a choice whether to listen or not. We don't have morality police that are walking through the congregation just looking for you so they can light you up if you doze off or go to sleep. And, good thing, right? And as we think about that, when I was in Moldova, when I first started going to Moldova, Joy and I were there 1 year, and there's a pastor, Misha and Olga, that we work with. Now, when we first started going, Misha's wife, Olga, would walk up and down the aisles of the church, and if you dozed off, she'd pop you. I told Joy she ought to come back and try it. She opted not to. But, aren't you thankful that we live in a free country? You say, well, Richard, what are you talking about? So what? Listen, do you realize today that in the vast majority of our world, if you try to worship the risen Savior, you face execution? In the vast majority of our world today, if you try to worship Jesus Christ, you cannot come publicly and openly and do that. But in America, we have been blessed with a freedom to worship. Do we exercise that? Are we grateful for that? Are we thankful for that? You see, not only are we protected as evangelical Christians, but the fortunate thing is, we also protect the right of the atheist, the right of the Buddhist, the right of the Hindu. They can believe what they want to believe. They can be wrong if they want to. And we thank God that we've been given the right and the freedom of worship, that no one dictates to us what truth is. You see, I believe in America we've lost sight of how important that is. I have traveled to nations where that freedom is not there. I have been in places in this world where that freedom, that luxury does not exist. I'm telling you, we need to be thankful for what God has given us. You see, another thing today is we have freedom of prosperity. We have freedom in prosperity. Let me just stop and ask you, do you realize how much God has blessed this nation? We grumble, we complain, man, we fuss about taxes, we fuss about this, we fuss about that. But do you realize how prosperous this nation is? Do you realize how fortunate we are? There's a few little bumps along the ways and things we don't appreciate along the way, but I'm telling you, do you realize how blessed and how prosperous we are as a nation? I'm going to ask you something. If you're here today and you have at least two changing of clothes, will you raise your hand? If you have at least two changes, seriously, if you have at least two changings, raise your hand. Do you realize by the standard of the world, you're wealthy? By the standard of the vast majority of this world, you have more than they will ever hope to have. I guarantee you, no one sitting under the sound of my voice has to go hungry today. You know how I know that? We got hot dogs right back here in the kitchen. You're going to get to eat. Do you realize that around this world there are people going to go to bed today without anything to eat? All around this world there's people doing without, but we are living in one of the most prosperous nations that God has ever placed on earth, and are we truly thankful for what God has given us? Do you realize in America we throw away more food than most people in this nation will ever get to eat? I grew up as a little boy, and many of you grew up the same way. They'd put all of our food on our plate, and they'd say, you got to eat that. And we'd go, well, we're full. They'd say, people are starving in China. I never understood what that had to do with the food on my plate, but the truth of the matter is, people do not have what we have, and we have been blessed with such a prosperous nation. I hope this 4th of July you take an opportunity to stop and thank God for what you've been given and the prosperity that he has given us. Well, also stop and I think today about the experience of opportunity. Americans experience freedom of opportunity. You see, the dictionary defines opportunity in this way. It says it is a situation or a condition favorable for the attainment of a goal. Well, let me ask you something. Whatever other nation on earth has conditions favorable for you to attain? Do you realize that there's very few, if any, other nation on earth that you can come from nothing to something? There's very few other places on this earth that you can break out of and move into. I mean, we're sitting in our own congregation. There are men and women sitting here today who can tell you they were born. They did not even have two nickels to rub together in their family. And God has blessed them through hard work and through labor. God has blessed them in a prosperous way. Not another nation, few, if any, other nation on earth can experience what we experience in this area of opportunity. I mean, as I realize, it's a tough economy and it's hard to make a go of it out there. But I will tell you, there are at least, there may not be the job you want. You may not be a CEO, but I'll tell you, there's jobs that can be had. There's food that can be bought. There's a way to make a living. There's a way to get through in many situations. And yet it's this land that God has given us, a land of opportunity. As I look and I see our young people, you know, you may not be able to go to the college of your choice and do the things you want to do, but there's educational opportunities that others don't experience. It's a land of opportunity. And do we really thank God for that opportunity? You know, as I finish up thinking about all this, I bring it all to head in one thought, and that is Americans experience the freedom to vote. I kind of bring it all together in that because the reality is according to studies and according to what we see, fewer and fewer Americans are exercising that right to vote. Fewer and fewer Americans are not exercising that right to go and to vote. My granddad told me when I was a young boy, I just was turning 18 years old, and granddaddy told me, he said, I'll never forget it, because he told me, he said, son, let me tell you right now, it's real simple. He said, a lot of people have died to give you the right to vote, and don't you ever open your mouth and grumble about a thing if you hadn't been to the polls. And you know, I think that's a fair assumption. If I vote, I get to complain. If I don't get to vote, or if I don't vote, I should be quiet because I didn't exercise that most basic right of voting. You see, as we stop and we realize, I'm going to worship. Listen, they can outlaw worship all they want to, and I'm going to worship. But through my right to vote, I can help maintain that freedom to worship. This is a land of opportunity, but through my right to vote, I can maintain that opportunity to progress in life. This is a land that offers us freedoms, and those freedoms are maintained and kept in place because Americans stand up and vote. And God has given us that right, and we are one of the few nations on earth that are truly blessed with that. I'll never forget. Look, I'm not getting into the political discussions, and I'm not going back and forth with whether or not you believe Afghanistan and Iraq was a good thing or a bad thing. All of that aside, here's what I can tell you. I will never forget the personal sense of pride that I felt as being part of the nation that gave the right as I watched those Iraqis that went to the polls the first time, close to 70% of the population under the threat of death, and they were coming out like this. You know why? They had dunked their thumbs in order to change them to a different color so they would know who voted and who hadn't. And they were so proud that they finally got to vote. And yet we have that right, and we stay home because we might have to wait 15 minutes to vote. Today, when I stop and I see what God has given us, and I think about the freedoms that we celebrate, I ask you, do we really stop and realize and celebrate what God has given us? If you could just go home and on the 4th of July this year, while we celebrate with cookouts and fireworks and going to the lake and enjoying all these things, if you could stop and say, wow, you know what? I'm able to go to the lake because of the nation God has blessed me in. I'm able to go on my family picnic. I'm able to go to the mountains. I'm able to get together with family. I'm able to do whatever I will do on this day. I'm able to do these things because of the nation God has blessed me to live in. National picture. National snapshot. Well, he gives us another snapshot, though, and that's a spiritual snapshot. I want you to notice what he says in verse 4. He says, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Now, you have to understand Hebrew poetry, and you have to understand the way this is being written. The psalmist is not saying literally bring us back to captivity, literally put us back in bondage. It's what he's saying is remind us, keep us ever mindful of the bondage, keep us ever mindful of the captivity that we endured. Now, today, as we stop and we think about that, I ask you, what are we mindful? Do we stop and say, God, keep us mindful of the sacrifice sacrifices that have been made. Keep us mindful of the price that has been paid. As we sit today and we're gathered together in here, as we sit and it's warming up in here a little bit, I know that. It's hot out there, and I know that. But let me tell you something. You think it's hot in here? Try sitting in full battle gear somewhere in the desert of Iraq or somewhere in the desert of Iran or in Afghanistan. Try sitting on a battlefield anywhere in any temperature and understanding that God has blessed us and people are serving today to give us the right to gather in here today, to worship, to come together, to think about what God has given us. And yet now we need to move our minds out of that and into the spiritual and think about all the things that God has blessed us with and how we are taking those blessings and giving credit and giving them away and doing everything but going back to the God that blessed us with these things today. He's telling the world in verse 4 that to remember those things. Remember those things that kept them in captivity, that bound them. As I think about that, there's some things that come to mind that bind us as Americans and some things that we need to be mindful of in our spiritual walk. First of all, I'm reminded that America is bound by the chains of materialism. You see, indeed, we are a prosperous nation. We have been blessed beyond blessings. We have been given beyond any imagination. And as I've already pointed out, there's not a person in here that by the standards of the majority of this world would not be considered wealthy today. But you see, we've also taken materialism to a whole new level. We've taken materialism to the point that we are defined by what we have. We are defined by what possesses, what we possess. You see, we do not have possessions in America today. Let's be honest with ourselves. Possessions have us. We no longer control that. We are controlled by what we have. We feel like we've got to compare. We feel like we have to one up. We have to prove we have more. We have to prove we are better than. And when I stop and I think about that, we lose sight of what it means. The problem comes when you get the idea that things will make you happy. Do you realize that part of the problem with our economy and part of the problems that we see is the idea of debt, the idea that people just go deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. All around our world, they really believe that the possession of things is what they need. You see, America is bound by that today. Well, let me just tell you, and it boils down to this. It's not how much you have. It's how you use what you have as a blessing to others. It's really not how much you have or how much you can accumulate that makes you successful ultimately in life. Ultimately in life, I believe with all my heart, it's how much can I share and how much can I give to other people. You see, we're bound by the chains of materialism. But not only materialism are we bound by, but also America's bound by chains of immorality. Chains of immorality. I never thought I would see the things that take place that in our world today. I never dreamed that we would have been through a fight in the state of North Carolina. We would have been through a fight to define marriage as we had to this year. I would have never dreamed that we would be sitting in a situation where governments are authorizing and okaying and saying, well, marriage is whatever you want it to be. I never dreamed that we would be in a situation that pornography would be protected and would be lawful and it would be okay to exploit and to take advantage of. You see, we live in an area today, we live in a world today that immorality has taken a foothold and it has grabbed us and it is choking us down. And one of the things, and I don't have time to go into it this morning, and it's not the point of the message nor the intent, but all you have to do is study history and all you have to do is look at what crumbled the greatest nations on earth. And I will tell you, the disintegration of family is what crumbled the greatest nations on earth. When these nations began to redefine family and began to say that no longer was the family unit, a father, a mother, and children important, and that you could call family whatever you wanted to call it, we see that whole civilizations crumbled. And America is following in those footsteps just as fast as we possibly can. You see, today when I stop and I think about it, I'm just reminded of the things that go on. I think about the profanity in our society today. You know, four-letter words have just become so accepted. A couple of years ago, there was actually a movement, and some of you will be shocked when I tell you this, but there was actually a movement by a segment of preachers in our country that decided they had the freedom to use profanity. Yeah, they said, well, it's okay, and in their sermons, they would use what we call four-letter words. They said, well, that's the lingo of the people, and so we just need to talk like, act like. No, we don't need to talk like and act like. We need to get as far away from the language of the world and as far away from the actions of the world as we can possibly get. Why do I want to talk like the world? Makes no sense to me when people try to justify. I know preachers. I've got a good friend of mine, very dear friend of mine. When he gets mad, man, he'll cut loose with, and he's a preacher, and he'll cut loose with words. I go, dude, what is your problem? You see, the truth of the matter is we hear it so much. Unfortunately, there's even some little boys and girls that have to go home and hear their mom and dad scream profanities at one another, and that shouldn't be. You can't even turn the TV on. I never thought there'd be a day that we would have cartoons on TV that would be rated M, mature. Cartoons. And by the way, if you're here and you're over six, I question why you're watching them anyway. You see, when we stop and we look at what goes on in our world and we see what happens in our world and we understand profanity is so accepted, it just becomes a language. And then we justify it. Well, you don't understand where I work. You don't understand the people I'm around. So that doesn't mean you have to do everything they do. My mom always said, if somebody jumps off the roof, would you? Well, she quit doing that when I jumped off the roof, you know? I mean, but the truth of the matter is, why do we feel like we got to copy the world? Why do we feel like that we have to see how much like the world we can be? Why don't we try finding out how different from the world we can be? Why don't we see what our witness will do when we're so radically different from the world that they look at us and they say, why are you so different? Instead of you inviting them to church and they're going, well, I don't want to waste my time there. It obviously hadn't done you any good. So I ask you, what about the profanity? Well, you know, I also look around our world and I see the abuse of alcohol and drugs in our world today. I'm absolutely amazed at the lengths that this world would go through to justify the use of alcohol and drugs. I know some of you are going, well, preacher, just a little drink here, a little drink there. Look, I can tell you right now, it's a bully platform. I've got the pulpit, and I'm going to tell you, I'll preach against it as long as there's breath in my body. There is nothing good going to come out of it. I've picked up far too many bodies on the side of the road when I was in law enforcement. I've seen far too many families destroyed. I've sat and looked at too many women that have been beaten and brutalized by a man that was drinking alcohol. I've seen too many children that have been brutalized. We can try all we want to justify it. You can't justify the use of it. And I look at the morality in our country and I see all the attempts we make to normalize the use of alcohol. It's all great to normalize it until it's your family and you're standing at the grave of your loved one that was simply coming home from church and some drunk driver ran over and killed him. So justify it all we want, we can't do it. I think about the profanity, I think about the alcohol, but also I think about the pornography in our society today. My heart breaks at the pornography. According to statistics, very few in America have not viewed pornography, either intentionally or unintentionally. You can't even go down the aisles of the grocery store anymore without seeing it. You can't even stand in the checkout line. I mean, I'm telling you right now, it's terrible when you stand in the checkout line at the grocery store and you can't even turn and look because there's pornography, profanity, and all these things all over the aisles. What happened to the good old days when they put candy bars up there? You know, we live in this world today that is normalized. Do you know how many families are destroyed every day by pornography? Listen, for those who want to say, well, it's okay and it's freedom of expression and it's freedom of thought, do you know how many women and children are raped in this country because of the filth that comes out? And I look at it and I see it and we just sit silently by and we say nothing and we do nothing. And we act as if it's all okay. We'll also think about the reality that we're bound by spiritual chains. You see, we could kind of sum it all up under this, but when I stop and I look at our nation and I see what binds us today and I see what holds us, do you realize that today in America we are bound by spiritual chains? I'm not even talking about true religion here. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that we were bound in society by chains of evangelical Christianity and that all these other things that I've talked about are pushed aside and they're not realities because we're bound. But listen, we're bound by spiritual chains, but they're not true spirituality. They're false spirituality. Do you realize that God has put within us that innate desire to worship, and we're going to worship? I love an atheist that says, well, I don't believe in God, and I'm not going to worship anything. You're lying. You're worshiping yourself. It's built within us to worship, and we're going to worship something. The question is what? Are we going to worship the true God, the God of heaven, or are we going to worship the creation rather than the Creator? But the truth of the matter is, today, false religions have flooded into our world. We have today the gospel according to Oprah, as she tries to tell you that it's all within. We have the gospel according to so many pagans and unbelievers today. I read one article that, and it was talking about a very well-known, supposedly Christian author in America today that said, you know, the truth of the matter is, he said, the only hell you're ever going to experience is that inner hell that you just need to find freedom from. I thought, you know, that's the garbage that people are digging for and looking to. They're finding anything to hold on to rather than go to the Word of God and hear what God says. You see, the truth of the matter is, this is what God says. God says there's a heaven, a glorious heaven. And all of us, I dare say if I went around the building today, not one person in here would say, I don't want to believe in that. I just soon believe when I die that that's all, I'm done, I'm finished. Now, if I went around the building today, you'd say, oh yeah, I want to believe in that. You can go to the most confirmed atheist in the world and you can look at him or her and say, let me ask you something. Just on the outside chance that it's true, don't you kind of like the idea of heaven? And I've asked that question to dozens and dozens of confirmed atheists, and I've never had one say, well, yeah, I guess I would like the idea. They always follow it up with, I don't believe it and I don't think it does. But yeah, I guess it would be good. You know, nobody would deny that the doctrine of heaven's a good thing. The problem is we've taken the doctrine of heaven today in America, we've embraced that, and we've said this is great, but we've ignored the doctrine of hell. We say, oh no, there's no way God would do that. There's no way anybody would spend eternity there. Listen, the authority of the Word of God says, yes, they will. And you can't have one without the other. And so today we're bound. We're bound by chains of spirituality. We're bound because we won't hold to the Word of God. And then finally, let me just give you a personal snapshot. When we stop and we think about our nation and we stop and we think about the spiritual condition, what can we do? What can you do? What can I do as individuals? You see, as we stop and we see a beautiful picture here, because he says in the psalm, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The picture we have is a farmer cultivating and sowing and harvesting his field, and he waters that field not with the rain of heaven, but with his own tears. And what a beautiful picture that we find. You see, as I look at this nation and I look at the things that go on, and I'm so grateful for so many things, my heart breaks over other things. And you know, I realize that there's not a thing I can do about the economy. I'll tell you right now, you can lose sleep over it, you can skip meals over it, you can complain about it, you can worry about it, and it's not going to change it. There's not a thing I can do about the morality. Oh, I'm going to preach against it, and I'm going to tell others, but at the end of the day, it's a personal decision. People have to decide what they'll do. Crime is a major problem in this nation, and I'll do what I can to prevent it. I'll be an honest citizen. I'll be a person of integrity. But at the end of the day, I can't control what everybody does. But you see, as we see this picture, there are some things I can't control, and there's some things I can do, and I can be this farmer in a spiritual sense. You see, I want you to notice a couple of things. Number one, we must be going. It says that he tells us that in verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continuously goes forth. You see, we have to be going with the good news of Jesus Christ. Have you shared your faith with anyone? Have you told anyone about the goodness and about the grace of God? You see, as I stop and I see what goes on in our world around us, and I realize how broken people are. Not long ago, I had an opportunity to be in a cab with a man for about 45 minutes. So he was kind of captive. He couldn't go anywhere. I was hoping he wouldn't put me out, but I began to talk to him and just began to share with him, began to talk to him about the beauty of the area we were in and talking about the things that went on. And then he said, well, why are you going home tonight? Why don't you stay and enjoy? I said, well, I got to get back. Got things I got to do, place I got to be. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor of a church. And we talked about that a little bit. And in the process, he said, you know, I'll tell you what. He said, I just don't know what to think about religion. I said, bingo, you messed up, dude. Here we go. I said, you know what? I hate religion. He got real quiet. He goes, I thought you said you was a pastor. I said, I am a pastor, and I despise religion. He said, well, if you hate religion, then what do? I said, I talk about relationship. I said, you see, I don't want anything to do with religion. I said, religion's what's ruined so many people. Religion's what's got us in the mess we're in. I said, but let me tell you about someone who died for you. And I took an opportunity to tell him about Jesus Christ and tell him, man, Jesus Christ never came that you might have religion. He came that you might have relationship. You see, what I want you to understand today is we must be going. We must be telling people. When God puts the opportunity, why won't you take it? Had an opportunity. I pulled in the gas station the other night, and it was hot. Some of these construction workers that are working on the highway down here, and they were coming in, filling up their machinery, getting ready for the night shift, and they were getting ready for all that. And the man said, I said, man, it's going to be hot out there tonight. Y'all be careful. I said, drink plenty of fluid. I know you know that, but I'll just remind you. And I said, I'll pray for you. I said, it's hot. He goes, boy, you better believe it's hot. I said, well, you know, there's someplace hotter than this. You said you did not. Yes, I did. You see, the truth of the matter is God puts so many opportunities in our path to share our faith. Why don't we share our faith? It's not hard. It's not complicated. We got to be going. Then we got to be sowing. I want you to notice he spread the seed. He sowed the seed. And I want you to notice, as I said, he watered it with his own tears. Do you share your faith? Well, let me ask you something. When's the last time you wept, shed a tear over something in this country? Look, you've known me for almost 7 years now. You know emotions are not my strong suit. But I'm telling you right now, my heart can break. And yes, I can shed a tear when I look at the corruptness of this nation. A few weeks ago, Joy and I was in New Orleans for the Southern Baptist Convention, and we walked down Canal Street and could look down Bourbon Street and some of those other side streets, and you could see the absolute paganism, the absolute lostness of a whole city. And if your heart can't break over that. I met a pastor that was from there in New Orleans, and he saw me out running one morning, and he said, I'll meet you in the morning, I'll run with you. And I said, it'd be fun, it'd be a lot of fun. And so we went out the next morning right at daybreak, and we were running. And as we were running down, we went down toward the river, and we went down Riverwalk, if you're familiar with the area. And as we were running down, he said, you ever been down Bourbon Street? I said, well, let me tell you, I tried it one time. It wasn't what I'm looking for. Not really. He said, you ever been down there this time of morning? I said, no. He said, come on, I want to show you something. So we hung a right and went down, started down Bourbon Street, and there was people laying everywhere. No kidding. There was probably 35, 40, maybe 50 people laying out on the sidewalks. I said, well, they just, all the homeless people gather here. As we were running down, he said, these aren't homeless people. He said, son, these are businessmen. He said, they close the bars, they roll them out the door and leave them. How sad. How sad that we call that a good time. Well, let me ask you something. Does your heart break over that? My heart broke when I saw the way people live. When I see what people do. Today, as we close, I just want to ask you, are you going and sowing? Are you telling people? Is your heart broken? Have you ever shed a tear over the lostness around us? Today, we see a national picture. God has blessed us, but we also see a spiritual picture. We've taken the blessings that God has given us, and we've polluted many of those. But then there was a personal picture, and that personal picture is real simple. We can't do anything about what around us do, but we can do everything about what we do. Are we going, and are we sowing? Read a story not long ago about an art teacher. Art teacher took students out to a meadow one evening just before sunset, and he was going to teach them how to paint the beauty of a sunset. There was this picturesque barn and setting, and the sun was going to set right across that. And so he put the students to painting about an hour before sunset and told them, now when you think the sunset is at its optimum beauty, then start painting your sunset. He walked by just about at dark. I mean, he had to have a little light in order to be able to see. And there was one student that hadn't even started painting the sun yet. He said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to get the shingles just right. He said, son, don't worry about them shingles. They'll be there in the morning. That sun only comes once. You see, I may ask you something. Are we so worried about the shingles that we're missing the sun? Are we so worried about the cares of this world that we've lost sight of what God has given us? Today I ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You want to celebrate true independence? You want to celebrate independence that goes far beyond anything that we celebrate in this country? Celebrate freedom from sin. Celebrate the freedom that only Christ can give. Today we can't save you, but we'd love to take the Word of God and show you what Christ did for you. Show you how to know Him and how to have assurance in that.